Good evening. Turn your Bibles over to 1 Timothy chapter 6. We're going to be over there in just a minute as we talk a little bit tonight about a subject that I know something about. I probably know more about it now than I did certainly a year ago, and I've had some time to think about it. And this is the concept of contentment. And as you see by the title here, I think in our world today, being content is difficult. And staying in a contented state is difficult. And we become discontent very quickly. You ever feel that way? Things change rapidly, don't they? And they seem to change almost intentionally rapidly. Things like, well, some of you have a phone, and it's really new and it's fancy. But it's 3G, and I'm disappointed in you because the newest people have a 4G phone. And some of you don't even know what I'm talking about, do you? It's a whole other language. I'm going to wait till they have 8G. And when they have that, I might get one of those phones. I don't know. I'm thinking about it. It's just hard to stay content and feel good about what we have. You ever seen a car commercial on television? And a car commercial comes on, it's a brand new car and it's beautiful. And it's driving down the road and everybody's looking at it. You know what I'm talking about? When you see these car commercials on television, everybody's watching this brand new car drive down the road. And the car people come on the commercial and they say, we know you probably have a great car at home that's paid for. Now, we want you to keep that car and not buy this car. But doesn't it look nice? You know, that's not what they say, is it? What do they say? They say, you need this car. You need this car because you thought it was a good car, and we understand that, okay? We don't feel bad towards you for thinking your car was good until you see our car, right? And then doesn't that make you feel like your car is kind of sad? How many of you have said, I'm going to pay a car off and then I'm going to keep it for a while? Well, a while is longer than a month, just to let you know, after you get it paid for. You know what I'm saying. It's hard because you want the new thing. You want to do the new thing. You want to have the nice new thing. You ever fixed your house up and really felt good about your house? Maybe you painted the inside of it and you worked on it and you just feel so proud. And you go visit a friend and you drive up in their driveway and you look at their house and you're just thinking, oh man, I thought I had a nice house until I saw their house. That ever happened to you? You just sometimes kind of find yourself becoming discontent. And I think our world pushes this on us. What do you think today? Staying content in a contented state is a difficult thing to do. Great quote here by a guy, Benjamin Franklin. He had a lot of good ones. I like this one in particular. Content makes poor men rich. You ever known anybody like that? Discontent makes rich men poor. I bet you've known more people like that. Maybe you are a person like that. It's hard not to feel that way sometimes in the world that we live in today. And yet God calls us to be people who are content regardless of our socioeconomic background or status. However much money's in the account, however nice our house is, however new the car is. God says He wants us to be people who are content. But it's content based on a different set of circumstances. It's not those external things, is it? That's not what God has planned for us. 1 Timothy 6, let's go over here and read a few verses. Two key passages that we're going to hit before we get into what I think is one of the best passages regarding this whole issue. We're going to look at 1 Timothy 6 first. Verse 6 beginning, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we could take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that." Boy, he wasn't a teenager when he wrote this, was he? People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. I think we know and have seen this in our world. People who want things so much and can't seem to be content, and so they go for something that's going to make them content. And I confess to you, I've done that. I've been that person before. And I hope I don't, but there's a chance I'll be that person again. We just think, if I could get this one thing taken care of, then everything would be better. I'd feel better all the time, right? And then you get that one thing taken care of and you get that one squared away. And you know what? Around the corner is another discontent just waiting, it seems like sometimes. Well, what Paul is encouraging here is that we need to work at being people who are content. And that we are content in a certain way. It's not about our stuff. We brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. We know that, right? After church this morning at Brookline, I talked about this same concept. And an older lady came up to me and she said, "You've never seen a U-Haul hooked up to a hearse before, have you?" You know? And that's right. We can't take it with us. And yet we like to have things. And things make life nice sometimes, don't they? Don't things make life nice sometimes? I enjoy our inside the house bathroom. Don't you enjoy yours? My grandfather used to tell me about when they didn't have those. I'm thankful for that. I think that's something to be thankful for. But, you know, we're talking about more than just indoor plumbing here, aren't we? We're talking about a lot of things in our life which can push us to do the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. The message he's carrying here is that we need to be careful that we don't get lured into a place where our desires drive us to do things that we know God would not have us to do. And it's easy for us to get to that place sometimes. Being simple and content leads towards safety and ultimately toward happiness. Because God provides good things for us. He doesn't always provide the newest things. And He doesn't always give us exactly what we want. But God does help us to be people who move in a good direction here. Food, clothing, these basic needs of life. God, I believe, helps provide those things for us through work and opportunities and through fellow Christians and people who are looking out for us. Discontent with our amount of stuff leads to temptation and harmful desires and many griefs. Have you ever seen the show on television about hoarding? Have you ever watched any of those shows? It's kind of a scary thing, isn't it? That I might start getting so much stuff that I can't throw anything away and I just have to have more and I have to have more and I have to have more. I want to be surrounded by all of my things. And yet we know when we see that in someone else, well, that doesn't look very attractive. Have you ever gone and done a good throwing away session after watching one of those shows? I've done it. I've thought, you know, I don't need that. Why am I keeping that thing? And you know, God doesn't want us to be people who are trying to accomplish who we need to be by our stuff. That's not His goal for us. Ecclesiastes 5. Go over there for just a moment. It's a verse that was read just a few minutes ago. And I appreciate that. Verse 10. Whoever loves money never has money enough. And whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income. This too is meaningless. However, that seems to be a driving force in our world, doesn't it? Don't become content. Don't be satisfied with where you are. Go higher. Go faster. Go farther. Make more money. Get the higher paying job. Do the next thing. This kind of thinking ruins people, doesn't it? Do you know it? Have some of you in here experienced this before? Going to do the next thing sometimes can be a bad decision, can be a bad choice. It can be the wrong thing to do. Verse 11, as goods increase, so do those who consume them. And what benefit are they to the owner except to feast his eyes on them? We're not going to keep them. We're not going to hold on to those things. We want to be able to, but we can't. The sleep of a laborer is sweet, whether he eats little or much, but the abundance of the rich man permits him no sleep. Yeah, and if you overeat too often, like I've done, you can't sleep at all. And that's not pleasurable. There's a lot of truth in this, isn't there? God says, I want to give you good things, but I don't want you to make yourself miserable with your stuff. You ever bought the new thing? Maybe it was the car out in your driveway. And you buy this new car and you love it. And guess what comes? You live in Missouri and a hailstorm comes. Do those ever happen around here? I'm just checking. Because I've heard stories about that. What are you worried about all night? Oh, my car. What's going to happen? You know, I need to find somebody who's got a garage that would let me park it in there. We worry about our stuff, don't we? You get a new boat and you just worry about that boat and you just worry about that boat. Whatever it is, it's easy to worry about our stuff and lose sleep over worrying about our things. Let me share a little piece of information with you I found when I was preparing this lesson. This is from U.S. News and World Report. Now just listen to this. Dream on. Post-war Americans always cherished the expectation that their standard of living would improve with each generation. In polls at the onset, back at the beginning of the Reagan era, 2 of 3 respondents said they expected to be better off than their parents. That's good news, right? Now that figure is being reversed. Almost 3/4 of 1,000 people who answered a recent poll say that the American dream is harder to attain than a generation ago. Would you agree with that? You believe that? 60% say achieving the dream requires more financial risk than it did for their parents. And the poll also finds some of the values held most dear during the 1980s, like wealth and power and fame, are those that now Americans mostly deem unimportant. The most important elements of today's American dream center on family and friends, and that's good. But money remains something for many to dream about. For Americans with household incomes under $25,000, it would take $54,000 a year to fulfill their American dream, on average. And those who make $100,000 plus crave an average of $192,000. In other words, the American dream usually lies nearly twice the distance away. Does it feel like that? Do you think it feels like that for people in our world today? Well, this report was written in 1992. Have we continued in that same direction? I think we have. And I think it's easy for us today in our world to start thinking, I'll never get there. I'll never be at that place where I can really feel good about where I'm at and how I'm doing. I'm worried that I'll never be able to accomplish that. Many are worried about never being able to retire. You know, they're worried about getting to that place. And I understand that. Philippians 4 talks to us a little bit more about this concept. Go over there if you have your New Testaments open. Starting in verse 11 of Philippians 4. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it's like to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. And I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I'm going to stop there for just a minute. What a huge statement to make, that you can be content in any circumstances, whatever the circumstances. Now, I'm going to tell you, that's easier said than done. In our family, we found that out. We were ready to go through the challenge of moving to a new place and being in a new place and coming to Springfield and changing, leaving where we were. I still have a house for sale in Collierville. If you want to buy one, just let me know. It's still for sale. And I knew there'd be challenges, and we understood that, and we were ready to come. And on the getting ready and packing boxes and all that, then we find out one of our boys has brain cancer. Well, I can tell you, our idea of what we would love to have in a given situation changed there. It did. It went from worrying about what we packed in a box and getting all of our stuff there without breaking it to, I don't care about that junk. Throw it in a box and throw it on a truck. I don't even care. I'll let my mother-in-law pack my house. How not caring is that? There's stuff I still hadn't found. There was a box labeled good luck. There was no luck inside when I opened it, so... You know, our circumstances change and our idea of what's going to make us happy or what's going to make us content for that day changes, doesn't it? Life throws stuff at us. And I know you've had things thrown at you. I know you have. I know your family has been through times when you thought, man, if we could go back to 6 months ago, we were so easy, happy. Things were fine then. Look at us now. This is hard. You know, and life does that to us. But he's saying, I've learned to be content regardless of my circumstances, whatever they happen to be. I would like to know what that secret is, but you know, secrets aren't easily given up. And he's learned it, and we're going to come back to that. Before we cover that, I'd like to go over to Psalm 73. Turn over there in your Old Testament. What a beautiful psalm this is. It starts out beautiful, and it ends up beautiful, and in between... In the middle here, there's kind of some rough patches, but I want to go through this one. Psalm 73. He starts out confident. Verse 1, the psalmist says, surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. Ah, that's a good feeling. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold. How? How would he slip? How would he lose his position? For I envied the arrogant, verse 3, when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. It's hard in our world when we look around it as Christians. We ought to be well off. We ought to be doing well as Christians. And yet sometimes Christians don't have things go as well as they'd hope, do they? He talks about this in here. That these people who don't follow God, who do not look to God for their strength and for their courage and for the answers in life, they seem to be doing well. Look at verse 4. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from the burdens common to man. They are not plagued by human ills. And he goes down and talks about pride that they have in this, and violence. In verse 7, callous hearts full of iniquity and evil conceits of their minds. He talks about this. They scoff, verse 8, speak with malice. These people are bad people, and yet they seem to have things going well for them. Do you ever look around you in the world and see people that you know have not done things God wants them to do? They're not deserving, it seems, of the right things, and yet they seem to prosper? Maybe you know somebody that you work with, and you know that they're not ethical, and they don't handle things right, and they say things they shouldn't, and they treat people disrespectfully, and yet they seem to prosper. Does that frustrate you when that happens? I can tell you that I've seen it, and it frustrates me. And I understand what the psalmist is saying here. What about us? What about those of us who are trying to do right? I got in trouble, he says in verse 3, when I envied the arrogant, and I saw the prosperity of the wicked. That made it difficult for me. And instead of being content, I was anything but. I was very discontent, he is saying. Verse 13. He finally gets to this ugly place. And I know, brothers and sisters, we can get here if we're not careful. Surely in vain have I kept my heart pure. In vain have I washed my hands in innocence. All day long I have been plagued. I have been punished every morning. If I had said, I will speak thus, I would have betrayed your children. And when I tried to understand all this, it was oppressive to me. He says, I just became weighed down because I was trying to understand, why is it that God's people don't seem to be better off than average? And why is it that we don't have things going well for us? Why do our people get sick? That shouldn't be right. I want to be content, God. I want things to be good. I want to be content because I want to have a nice place to live, and I want to have something nice to drive, and I want to have money in my account, and I want to have a good retirement fund. And I shouldn't get sick, God. If I belong to you, I should be content because you're taking care of all my needs and everything is good with me. Is that the secret of contentment? Let's keep going. He says, verse 17, see, verse 16, it was oppressive to me until what? Until I entered the sanctuary of God, and then I understood their final destiny. He says, my eyes were looking in the wrong place. I was looking around me at the world, and I was judging how everyone's doing based on their physical well-being. I was thinking about the money in their account and how they were doing. And that's not what it's about. It's not the job that they have. That's not what sets our sights in the right place. He says, when I went to the sanctuary of God, I looked around, and guess what? I looked at God's people, and I realized there's something different about the people of God and the people in this world. And guess what? It's not the accumulation of stuff. That's not the thing that makes us different. The thing that makes us different is where he's going next. Look at verse 21. He says, when my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. I acted poorly, God. I did not behave myself the way that I should have. Yet, verse 23, I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory. That's the beautiful thing, isn't it? We're not thinking about now. We can't get stuck in the now. We can't get stuck thinking about here. This is not what it's about. He keeps going. Verse 25, look at this. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. Our desire, what we desire, has everything to do with how content we are today. If what I desire is what God wants to give me, then he tells me I can be content any time I get ready. I can be content because he's going to supply those needs for me. And he's going to take care of me that way. God's going to give me good things, but He's not going to give me everything I want. It's not like get out the Christmas wish book and just go through and say, God, I want one of those and two of those and three of those. No, Joe. God says, if you will turn to me and you will hold my right hand, I will bring you to me one day to be in glory with me, and you don't have to worry in this life, because the desire of your heart is going to be me. It's going to be about relationship with me. It's going to be about your love for me. Verse 26, my flesh and my heart may fail, and they will, won't they, people? Won't our flesh and our heart fail? But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish. You will destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all of your deeds. What a beautiful, beautiful passage. He starts out saying, I want to trust in you, God, but it's hard because things don't work out in this world the way that I think that they should. My eyes can't determine that I am as successful as I want to be, and others seem to do better. And yet God says to us through the psalmist here, listen, still yourself and calm yourself and listen. God is with us all the time. And a relationship with Him needs to be the thing that guides us in that right direction. Don't envy the arrogant. That's not going to take us to a good place. Envy never does. Don't give in to worldliness. Don't try to accumulate things. Throw off the oppression that the world tries to push us down with. The world wants to tell us it's about those things, but we have to know better. We need to live in God's sanctuary. Why come to church? Well, I'll tell you one of the reasons. Let me suggest for you a Sunday night crowd. I know, right? I don't have to tell you to come to church, but I'm going to do it anyway. You come because it reminds you of what you're doing here. It reminds you of why we're here. It reminds us of what real success actually looks like. Don't be discontent in our world. Be content knowing that we have a relationship with God that transcends the physical and transcends the now. Hold His hand, maybe especially during those difficult times, and remember that it's good to be near God. Don't walk away from Him when things are hard. That's the very time we need to be closer to Him. Finally, back to Philippians 4, 11 through 13. So what's the great secret here? The great secret is what? Well, it's contained in verse 13. So let's run back over there real quick and look what it says. It says, I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. I can do everything how? Through my own strength and ability? No. I can do everything how? Because of my own successes and because of my own merits? No. I can do everything because He is giving me strength for the moment. I'm holding His hand and I'm not releasing it. I am keeping my relationship with God as the primary concern for me in my life. And I value that over all other things. Are other things good? Yes. Is it nice to have a nice place to live? Absolutely. Is it good to provide for your retirement? I think it's great. I think we should all be doing that. And yet, we should also remember that really, in fact... we are not in control, are we? We're not. As bad as we want to feel like we are, and as much as we want to think that we can be, the fact is we cannot. It's only through our relationship with God that we have a hope of being all that He is wanting us to be. Knowing Him changes our entire perspective on life. We are not defeated. We are victorious people. Are we not? Aren't we victorious people here tonight? One of the most victorious people I've ever known was my grandfather. And he was a poor guy. He did not have much at all. The big thing that he had that I always remember was a green Naugahyde recliner. You ever seen one of those? You know what I'm talking about? And it took a bunch of Naugas to make that thing. But it was, by the time he died, it was about half duct tape. And let me tell you, he didn't care about that at all. It didn't mean a thing to him. He would proudly sit in that chair, and he didn't care about that at all. And he lived in a tin-roof shack in Mississippi. There was nothing impressive about him unless you sat down and talked to him. And then all of a sudden, you found somebody who had a perspective on life that was different than most people you run into. He was happy. He could smile when others wouldn't. He could deal with difficulty in ways that just blew me away when I was a kid. And it was amazing because he really already had his mind in heaven. He was already there. And he did wonderful things for us, telling me, "Don't worry, Joe, when I'm gone, you go to my funeral and smile because I'm right where I want to be." Wow, that was such a gift for a grandfather to say that to his grandson. I really appreciated him for doing that. The point is that God says we can be content people as long as we don't look to this world for our contentment, because this world doesn't provide contentment. This world provides discontent. It's only in Christ. It's only through our relationship with God that we have true contentment. That's where it lies. Be content. Circumstances, then, when we rely on God, cannot stop us. We can't be stopped by our circumstances because we are dependent on Him. Stuff cannot rule over us because stuff, we know it's all going to pass away. And even if we enjoy it today, it doesn't mean anything. We have to know that. Situations cannot oppress us. We can't be oppressed so easily. We're God's people. We're holding His right hand. We have our contentment in Him. And just be satisfied with what you have. A relationship with a God who loves you more and more and more and more. I wanted to put more mores up there, but they just wouldn't fit. The point is that God never stops loving us, and He never stops caring about us, and He never stops finding ways to bless our lives. Oftentimes, the thing that we're praying about, we will look around, and if we'll really stop and pay attention, God has usually blessed us already with an answer to that problem. It's amazing how many times that happens. God says, "You know, I'm going to give you a way to deal with this, and I'm going to give you people around you, and I'm going to give you a good church, and I'm going to give you a home, and I'm going to give you family that loves you, and I'm going to give you provision for difficult moments in life because I have never stopped loving you." He always loves us, even when we acted like a spoiled kid at the store and we flop out on the floor. He doesn't leave us, does He? He still loves us. If you're here today and you are not content because your relationship with God's not what it should be, let me tell you, that's something you could do something about right now. You can come and be baptized into Christ, put Him on in baptism, and be His. And you can really be content in a way that you've never been content before. Or if you're here and you already belong to Him, but you've let things in the world get in the way of you being all that He wants you to be, and you've lost some of that contentment that you know He wants us to strive for, then come, let us pray with you. Let us hug you and encourage you. God provides for us all these good things just so that we can be the people for Him in our world that we need to be. We should be the happiest people in the world, shouldn't we? Because we belong to God. We have a relationship with Him. If you have any need tonight, please come while we stand and sing.